When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Timothy, it does me well to see you. How are you this morrow?
I'm fantastic this morrow, Sir Greg. How are you, new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.?
I'm doing good, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And rounding out the crew for today, the Nitro Rifle himself. We heard that he's two-thirds through Elden Ring and he can't wait to keep going. Andy Cortez.
Good evening, foul tarnished.
Damn. See, I got some nice welcomes throughout the entire day there. I liked that. I like that a lot. It feels good. That's what we do here at Kind of Funny on the Kind of Funny Games cast, where you can watch it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com. If you want to listen to it as a podcast, you got to search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games cast, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free, if you wanted to watch it live as we record it, and if you want the exclusive post-show where we play a fun game show we like to call Bless Who, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady, Pranksy, Dan, Golden Spider B, Tyler Ross, Delaney Twinning, First Responder ND, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew have done. We appreciate you all so very much. If you don't have a dollar to toss our way, that's totally cool. Anytime you're on the Epic Game Store, make sure you use our Epic creator code, Kinda Funny, and you will help support us without paying any additional dollars. It's fantastic stuff. You get to support video games and support Kinda Funny. What more could you want to do in life? I'm not really sure. Some housekeeping for you. Speaking of Dan Golden Spider B, I just want to say I haven't laughed harder in a long time than seeing Andy and Bless play Elden Ring and seeing a hand spider come at Blessing and him losing his mind. Bless, I didn't know you had that type of energy in you.
I didn't know either, Tim. I've been talking about this a lot with Andy specifically, that like From Software has a way of creating new fears that I didn't know I had. And they've done it with Bloodborne before, where like I see some spider shit and I'm like, oh shit, I didn't realize I was scared of spiders this much. When I saw the hand spiders in Elden Ring, legit, like I saw them during the review period. I got to the manor. It's called Caria Manor, where you walk in and there's these giant spiders for people who are unaware, right? Who like, and they're not spiders, right? They're giant hands that have spider-like movements and have way too many digits, right? Like, Tim, you know how hands usually have, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 fingers? These things have, like, 20. And, like, they're gigantic. They drop down and they run at you. And I saw that during the review period when I was playing by myself. And I was like, nah, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this. I'm just going to leave this for later, maybe when I'm on a stream or something. And so, yeah, me and Andy finally got back around to doing that on the stream. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what activates, but I have like a physiological reaction to these things.
Oh yeah, we saw. Yeah. Now, first off, I appreciate the use of the of digits. Like, that was the moment in the video where I was like, Bless is having an out of body experience right now. Well, even his mind isn't working correctly. This motherfucker just dropped the word digits to explain fingers, which is
physiological.
I love it so much. And then here you just see him being pulled back. I love it. You got to check out our TikTok. Go check out at Kind of Funny Games. We also post it to our Twitter and Instagram and all that. Your social media platform of choice will be right there, including our YouTube pages. You can get them on youtube.com/kindoffunny or Kind of Funny Games in shorts format, depending on what channel you prefer. Why not both? That's what I always say. That thing was great. And then in addition to that, there was one other housekeeping thing I wanted to say. Oh, Samoa Joe is hosting Kind of Funny Games Daily on Thursday. That is utterly incredible, and I'm so excited. And that's another funny video, not edited or anything, but just Greg tweeted a clip out of me reacting to Greg Miller live on Kind of Funny Games Daily, calling legendary wrestler Samoa Joe, casually talking to him and then inviting him to be a host on Games Daily. So I can't wait to see that happen.
So definitely, for the record, you said that will be a TikTok. I hit up Raj today. I was like, hey, I had asked for this a while ago and I didn't know if you had a chance to do it. He's like, I'm actually waiting. I'm going to have him be on the show and then do one super edit of it. I'm like, that makes sense.
So that's awesome.
Fear not, TikTok folks. You will see it eventually.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it was
Going back really quickly to that Elden Ring thing, Tim, we experienced a lot of fear with Bless. We got through a lot of trouble, and we were able to sort of face our fears. Still come out on the other side of it a bit scared, but, you know, more brave, I think, than when we entered. And then later on, I think Bless was going to stream on his personal Twitch channel, Blessing Jr., and he texted me, "Hey, I'm about to go into Volcano Manor. Are there any spider hand things there?" And it was one of those, it was a text that I saw. I was napping, so I didn't see until super late. And there aren't any hand spiders there in Volcano Manor.
There are around Volcano Manor.
On the way to it, yes.
Yeah, that's what fucked me up is that, like, Miyazaki knows what he's doing. Because, like, they have maps scattered around the world where, like, you can pick up a map and that'll fill in what the texture of the world is when you boot up your actual map. And so, like, the one map marker that you can pick up near there has a spider or has like a hand spider that is camping out on it, to where as soon as you walk up on it, over a hill, a spider will come through. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And that happened to me. And I was like, dude, if these things are in there, Andy, I don't know if I'm beating this game.
Tim, in that area that Bless was scared in the video you saw, so there's the little small ones. There's that big one that you saw in the one that attacked him. And there are other ones scattered throughout there in that manor area, in the grounds area. And they're not always visible, but sometimes when they are, their fingernails are sticking out of the ground.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
And so, like, you might be walking, and you just see, like, pointy fingernails in the ground. You're like, what's that? And you walk up to it, and boom, it just, like, jumps out, leaps at you. Oh, it is. It's really gross stuff. It's gross stuff. Great game, though.
Oh, my God. Gotta love it. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart Express VPN, Chime, and Babbel, but we'll tell you about that later because, oh, what is that, boys?
Review season.
It carries on. We're going to do a full review of WWE 2K 2022 in just a second. But before we get there, you guys actually got to do a little fun. I don't know if you call it a preview, but a fun opportunity for Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
That's right, Tim. Yeah, so we did sponsored content with 2K, but not sponsored in the way, you know, we talked to you about the game. Sponsored that for the first time in forever, they invited us to the studio, which I guess makes it sound like they don't invite us places. I mean, there's been a global pandemic and we haven't done anything in person in a long time. They had hit me up because obviously we did the Borderlands show for them, and they were looking for a foursome to come up and show off their brand new end game for Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, the Chaos Chamber. So myself, Blessing Adeoye Jr., Janet Garcia, and Andrea Renee from What's Good Games went up to 2K Nevada a couple weeks ago and got to be in person, which is crazy because I had never met Janet before. That was my first time meeting Janet in person.
That's wild.
Even though I've worked with her for how long now? And then I hadn't seen Andrea and I've worked since in forever. And then Blessing, I hadn't seen in a while, but I feel like we talk enough. You know what I mean? did he tell everybody yet that I forced him into watching Batman v Superman this weekend? He was like, I'll never watch that movie. And then one text later, I got him locked in.
Greg is diabolical. Greg was talking with me yesterday. I'm not watching Batman v Superman, to be clear. But like
watch the extended edition. It's not bad.
Thank you, Andy.
It was the thing where yesterday during PS Love You, we were talking, right? The show starts and we're talking about like movies that are too long, because we're talking about God of War coming to the big screen, and I was like, oh man, I'd like to see a God of War movie that's like 3 hours long. And I was like, actually not 3 hours long, because 3 hours is too long for a movie. And of course that was coming off of me watching Batman, which is 3 hours long, and me feeling like 3 hours long is too long for the Batman. To which Greg then DMs me mid-show an Amazon link to Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, Greg, I'm never watching the Ultimate Edition of Batman v Superman. You couldn't pay me to watch the Ultimate Edition.
You should. At some point in your life, you should.
Because Batman v Superman the original is real bad.
Fight.
Yeah.
But then, like later on in the evening, I get a random text from Greg of like the Amazon link to Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition. To which I respond, Greg, I'll prefer for the Riddler to be real and for him to discover that I forged my parents' signature in eighth grade or some shit than to watch Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition. About 30 minutes later, I get a text from my very good friend, Yusef McGeed, and he's like, oh, hey, man, me and B are thinking about doing a movie night this weekend. Would you want in? And I was like, oh, yeah, man, I'm busy on Saturday, but if you're doing it Friday, I'm down. Yusef's like, oh, yeah, man, we can make Friday work. And then Yusef texts me like minutes later and is like, hey, like we're feeling hot off of watching the Batman movie. We're thinking about doing Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition. To which I read that, I text him back, and I'm like, did Greg put you up to this? And Yusef's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, Greg's been joking with me the whole day about Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition. Like, did he put you up to this? And he's like, oh, man, that's funny. No, like, we just really want to watch Batman v Superman. So I was like, all right, I guess
I'll watch Batman. The master schemer.
And, like, I didn't know what to do in this situation, because, like, I had just told Greg that, like, nothing could be done to make me watch this fucking movie.
Right.
The homies hit me up, and I was like, I guess I'll watch. Like, I really love Yousef and Belinda. I love hanging out with them.
You already agreed to watch a movie. Like, you can't back out and be like, no, I don't like that movie. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I made the commitment. So I was like, all right, yeah, I guess I'll do it. To then, like, Greg, I forget exactly what happened. I think I texted Greg and I was like, hey, man, just so you know, Yousef is texting me and it looks like I'm watching Batman v Superman. I wake up this morning, Yousef texts me and is like, nah, man, I'm joking. Greg did put me up to this. We're not watching Batman v Superman. I was like, what the fuck, man?
What the Yousef fuck? Slipped on volatile. You so hard. My text message exchange went like this. Hey, help me out and fuck. This is out of the blue. Hey, help me out and fuck with Bless. He just goes, gladly. What are you thinking? That's what you need in a friend. He's like, I don't care. That's I'm in. Let's roll. Where are we going? Right, climb friend. In the car. We're going after Bless. Tiny oh my God. Tina's Incredible. Wonderlands. So yeah, they put out a thing today announcing Chaos Chamber, which is the end game mode for the game. And so they had hit us up and we're like, hey, do you want to just come up here and play the game? Just come up and play the game. And, you know, we need people playing it. And since you guys are local and we love working with you, we'd love to have you do it. And then, you know, you tweet about it or whatever if you liked it. And we're like, sure, of course. So we ran up there and we played it. And I had a great time with it. You know, obviously, I'm a fan of Borderlands. I think that goes without saying. You've heard many a Borderlands story from Greg Miller in the run-up to Borderlands 3, let alone getting Borderlands 3 and then doing the Borderlands show with Fran long after the launch of the game and continue to go through all the DLC and stuff to that regard. So Tiny Tina's Wonderlands has been on my, oh, I'm going to play that. I'm looking forward to that. But I haven't gone over the moon for it, nor have I gone out of my way to look at things outside of what we get when we do the showcases or something like at E3 where Gearbox did their presentation, which was awful. But the Tiny Tina stuff was interesting, right? And so this was my first time really getting into the world, because even with Borderlands 2, I hadn't done the Assault on Dragon Keep, which is the, you know, DLC that kind of spawns this. Because if you're unfamiliar in this game, what's happening is Tiny Tina is running basically a D&D game, right? She's running Bunkers and Badasses, and you're playing through that. So it's Borderlands, but it's a, you know, mystical, mythical Borderlands in the storybook, right? Still a lot of butt stallions and stuff like that, but there are classes, there are, mages and things like of that nature. So this is my first time jumping in, and I was surprised how much it isn't Borderlands 3. Like, and I know there's a, you know, an undercurrent today at the announcement of this, which is its first real look, where people are like, I think even in my comments about it on my Twitter, just like, so is this just a reskin Borderlands 3? And I saw somebody coming back like in a more public thing, be like, that's really offensive. Like, is Borderlands 3 a reskin Borderlands 2 kind of thing? Like, I wasn't somewhere saying, oh man, what a cheap thing they're doing here. I expected this to be different, but I'm not shocked. I'm surprised by how different it is and how it doesn't, it's clearly Borderlands inspired. Clearly it's Borderlands as you play it, but it's not me going through being like, I recognize that asset. I recognize that asset. I know what I'm doing here. I know what I'm doing there. Like, I didn't get that vibe from it. So playing it and having character classes that you have in Tiny Tina's that actually play differently and do all these different things, like, that was interesting and fun to get our heads wrapped around. We first started playing, you know, Andrea was playing as the glass cannon, and so for her, you had to figure out how to work that build. I was playing as a berserker, which is, you know, a cold infused berserker. It feels different than how I played Flash in Borderlands 3 or something. That thank you very much.
Get it now.
This is a game That's for good. You. This is a game for you.
Yeah. Oh, burr.
Yeah, burr. It's cold out there.
I was like, why are you
some toros in the atmosphere?
I said burr. There it is. Bring it on, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You nailed it. And so, yeah, I'm talking a lot. Blessing, did you enjoy Chaos Chamber? Did you enjoy what you played of it?
Yeah, I had a good time. The specific mode that we played, right, which was the endgame mode, has roguelite kind of systems to it, where it is we're going through room by room and choosing which room we want to go through next, depending on what the rewards are that we want to get. And we're able to kind of like pick the difficulty, pick how hard we want to go, pick we want to do the side objectives. And I've not really experienced any sort of like Borderlands endgame, because Borderlands for me is a series that I like Borderlands. I like playing it casually, but I've never had the patience to push through the however many hours it takes to finish Borderlands and then play the endgame and then play the DLC and then push through all that stuff. Usually I'll pick it up, and like, I think me and Barrett had the story where we tried so hard.
It was like 4 months. It was like right before you started working for Kind of Funny, and there was like a good 4 months that we were trying to like beat it together, and this was like this journey. And I swear, it was like every single night we would start, we would play for 20 minutes, and then both you and I would like fall asleep while playing.
Yeah, and it's that thing of like, I think one for me, once I play enough Borderlands, I'm like, all right, cool, I got what I wanted out of it, and then I just feel, you know, tired by it. I was interested as I was playing Wonderlands, because I was like, okay, this is a different flavor of it. It almost reminds me, I think the reskin thing is interesting, because it reminds me almost of like either like a Majora's Mask to an Ocarina of Time, or a Far Cry Primal to a Far Cry 3 or Far Cry 4, I forget which one that was. But, you know, it's a different take on it that makes it more interesting, that might be bouncing off of the recent release, but finds ways to switch it up and finds ways to keep your energy engaged. And so, like, I do like the Tiny Tina twist. You know, I think the fantasy stuff in here is fun, different, and, like, the Borderlands traditional humor never always hit with me. Like, I never thought it was too terrible. I know a lot of people split different ways in terms of how funny or not funny they think Borderlands is. I've always thought it was fine, right? It's not something that ever bothered me, but I do think the having, like, a place to lean into, right? Or, like, a bit to lean into when it comes to the D&D type stuff, right? I think does give them good prompts for jokes. Like, I was joking with you guys during the actual recording that, like, every time an achievement would come up, I'd laugh because, like, I thought they were nailing it in terms of, like, the I can't pull them any direct at this moment, but, like, they had a lot of good puns, a lot of good, like, D&D jokes, right? Like, a lot of good Borderlands style jokes, but, you know, pertaining to D&D that I thought were fun. The gameplay I felt like was Borderlands, but, you know, everything kind of had a twist to it, right? Like, you mentioned being the Berserker, you mentioned the class that Andrea was. I can't remember the exact class I was. I think I might have been the Graveborn.
Graveborn, yeah, that makes sense. I haven't pulled up over here. So Graveborn yeah. are death-touched acolytes who sacrifice health to unleash devastating dark magic attacks and become the phantasmal Reaper of Bones, accompanied by their manic demi-lich companion.
Yeah.
Andy, what's your take on the word acolyte?
Acolytes are really cool because I think of WWF for back in the day.
Yes, Andy. Oh my God, that was one of those where he said it, and I reached out. I'm like, somebody has to remember Farouk and Bradshaw. Dude. We got to be talking about the APA right now, right? The fuck yeah, baby. Andy. I'm proud of you. I'm hot. I wish I
saved that for later. It would have been a great segue to WWE. Sorry, bless. Back to you.
but yeah, like, you know, I liked playing as the Graveborn. I liked having my Demolich next to me, hanging out with me, and, like, also I had another companion because you can, like, mix and match classes in this one, which is new for the Borderlands franchise. So that was cool. But yeah, like, I had an overall good time. Like, I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to for somebody who, like, tends to bounce off, right? Like, I can see myself when Tiny Tina actually comes out, me doing streams with Greg and whoever wants to come through of, hey, yeah, let's do the end game. Let's do the, the roguelite mode, which, what was it called again, Greg?
Chaos Chamber.
Chaos Chamber, right? Let's do one or two runs of Chaos Chamber and have a good time. Like,
so, really, yeah, like,
it's all standalone, right? Like, this isn't anything you need to have.
Oh, no, it's a standalone game. It's all its own. Yeah. And, like, the Chaos Chamber stuff, like, I don't think I'll end up playing it after the fact. And I don't think it's because it's bad. I think I play Borderlands for the story. And again, I know humor is different for every person. I thought Borderlands 3 was funny. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the DLCs. I thought the wedding was great and all that. I digress. The casino boat, that was great too. But what I like about this is I know from doing the Borderlands show how hardcore the Borderlands community is about min-maxing and having the best build. And it's like a stuff that, like, I knew people loved Borderlands. I knew people played Borderlands 2 up until Borderlands 3, but I didn't realize how much there was this undercurrent, hardcore, let's go through and figure out the best DPS, how to melt bosses, let's do blah, 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 blah. And so if you're that kind of person, if you're a Fran, right, that's why Fran and I work so well in the show, is that I was there for the story and what was going on, and I enjoyed playing it with Jen, you know, on normal and having fun. I didn't really want to roll, they changed Mayhem around, but I didn't really want to roll between the mid-Mayhem system, which made the game tougher. This one, what I like, if you're trying to be that min-maxer, right, is that they say the mission, a run of this should only take you 20 to 30 minutes. Obviously, you can make it tougher and make it longer. The idea of going through makes sense. As you play, you get these things called moon orbs, right, that you can then use when you leave the mode to, you know, re-roll the enchantments on your gun. So you're trying to get the better enchantments there. But also, if you're like how I am in Borderlands, where I'm like, I like two kinds of weapons. I usually like an assault rifle, right? I usually like a good pistol. You can play this over and over again. And then the other currency, I forget what it's called. I guess I could look it up. I think it's crystals. Crystals. The crystals you're earning in there at the end of the mode when you've gone through and you beat it, you then walk in before you go back into the, you know, quote unquote real world that you're coming from. You can then put the crystals into specific, like, here's an assault rifle bunny that barfs up all these assault rifles that you can then go. And obviously there's RNG attached if it's going to be a good one or a bad one or whatever. But it's there that you can get that. So if you are just looking for a better version of that gun, you've hit a different level and you like your assault. Like, that was my thing with Borderlands 3, is I found myself in play situations where I was like, oh man, like, I liked this gun, but I've now got a gun that's more powerful. Even though it's not the kind of gun I like, I'll switch over to that. So that idea of running it to try to get that makes sense. And I think that I would use it in that sense if I'm into this game and I want to play the DLCs for it, that I want the better gun going into the DLCs.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about this. This will be the first Borderlands that I play on keyboard mouse. And ever since I switched over to PC, I just feel like I Tim, I unlocked a talent that I didn't even know had, right? Like suddenly I'm at least top 50 in the world in FPS games, top five in Destiny, some people might say. But I never wanted to play the DLCs for Borderland in the same way that whenever Destiny would come out with like a minor expansion, I'm like, I'm good with that. But this being sort of this brand new thing that everybody can kind of hop in and everybody's sort of like at the same level and I'm not feeling super left behind. And the idea that it is a brand new world with really great crossplay and just gun mechanics that I adored. Like I loved Borderlands 3. I had a blast with it. But when it was done, I never felt like I wanted to do the end game or do any of the extra DLCs. So this is pretty exciting, honestly.
Is the game crossplay?
The Borderlands 3 is.
Wait, Borderlands 3 is crossplay?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think they maybe later supported it so you could do Xbox and play or Xbox and PC, but I don't know if they ever got PlayStation in there.
Oh, am I high right now?
No, it was a big thing they struggled with for a long time.
Yes, Borderlands 3 is cross-platform between Xbox One, Xbox Series S and X, Mac, PC, and Stadia. Ooh, but not PlayStation. Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
I'm on the gamehouse.com. They say since Tiny Tina's Wonderlands crossplay functionality will not likely be supported, at least on the initial release.
Sorry
to break your news. Sorry. I mean, you
not
just
playing.
Play
man, you just console. come over, man.
Play on PlayStation. Tiny Tina's Blunderlands.
Jesus, wow, thank you.
You got it. You got him there.
Thank you.
But for real, go to kindoffunny.com/TinyTina and go to click on the thing and say we sent you. But I had fun. I had fun playing it. And it's like, again, I think for me, what it was, oh man, I'm really going to enjoy playing the real game, the base game, not the necessarily the end game. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, but I'm usually not the grind it out, go run the boss again and again and again. What I did like was the taste of Will Arnett. Will Arnett, we already knew, was in the game.
Oh, that's right.
Getting to hear from him inside the game world, I was like, oh, that's going to be fucking good. That's going to be fun.
How was Andy Samberg?
I don't think I heard him.
Andy Samberg.
I'm Andy Samberg. This is Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, and I'm Andy Samberg. Yeah, I think it's different enough, Tim, from Borderlands 3, and I'm excited to play it.
Hell yeah. There you go. Moving on now. WWE 2K2022. They took a year off to fix all the problems. Did they, Greg?
Let's start here, ladies and gentlemen. WWE 2K2022. I have been looking forward to this for a while. As Tim brings it up, maybe you don't know. Maybe you're like, I really want to hear the Elden Ring talk. I'll suffer through some wrestling, and I appreciate that if it's you. Remember, of course, what had happened. For WWE 2K20, the people who made the game quit and they went to work on an AEW game. So 2K's Visual Concepts like, we can do this on our own. And they could not do it. It was a trash fire, full of bugs, full of problems, eviscerated online, memes all over the place, clips all over the place. Then the next year for WWE 2K21, they said, you know what? No, we're not going to do it. Which is an outrageous thing to say when you think about 2K, Take Two Interactive, not annualizing a sports game, working for WWE too, another company that likes to make their money and have their regular wrestling games, right? Like, if you're new around here, or at least haven't been with me the whole ride, remember that like wrestling games are like definitive Greg Miller shit. And like, obviously, as I've gotten older and the wrestling's changed and yada yada, I mean, my desire to play or ability to or whatever has lessened, but I used to review them every one at IGN, right? And before then, I learned about IGN really and have definitive memories of IGN from going and watching the superstar videos. I remember in high school having the computers in the computer lab actually had the Ethernet to them, right? So I was able to go up there, and I remember watching Chris Jericho's entrance in WrestleMania 2000, like the Thursday after he debuted on Monday Night Raw that I was at, no big deal, August 9th, 1999, changed my life. But being able to watch that there and be like, on IGN, be like, this is the future. Blessing Eddie Jr.
Greg, were you the type to go online and look up the formulas to design different wrestlers? The rest
100%
here in the game.
100%. Are you kidding me? Of course I was. Yeah, and this goes all the way back through, you know,
you gotta
entire
be the colonel from KFC, right?
Of course you had to have the colonel from KFC. Incredible Hulk every year. You know what I mean? Captain America for no reason. But all the way back to Genesis and, you know, even stuff on Super Nintendo or NES or when I'm playing at a friend's house. Yada, yada, yada. I'm big into wrestling video games, right? So after I gave up reviewing them at IGN and passed that off to somebody else, like I check in.
When was that, Greg?
You know, I was trying to figure that out myself. It had to have been around up at noontime. Like Andy, give me a Google on IGN WWE 2K11
and 2K10 and see if I reviewed either of those, if I had already passed it off then.
So you were reviewing the 2K brand of WWE.
This is Greg Miller, 2K11, SmackDown versus Raw, WWE.
Okay. Yeah.
And now you want 2K12?
Well, if I had 2K11, yeah. 2K12, I bet it's where I fall off. Maybe it's 2K13. Oh, everybody waits with bated breath as Andy Googles to see where Greg gave off on reviews.
WWE 12 is by Richard George.
There you go. There you go. And I think, you know, that coincides with moving over to hosting stuff and up at new stuff and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, I did into the 2K series, yes. And from there on out, Tim, I did play the 2K series. I would say... I never played them as deeply as when I reviewed them. And then I would say, if you want to, going through the Looking Glass there and being more of a fan with them, never like I did when I was a kid. And I think part of that speaks to quality of what the games were compared to a No Mercy, compared to a, you know, Warzone or something like that. And I know I'm being fast and loose with like WWEF attitude or whatever, but I digress.
8.
I play a lot of
wrestling
grade. Games.
What 8.5 grade 2010.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, where did you say numbers at all?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Where did you stand with SmackDown versus Raw?
Oh, I reviewed a lot of them.
In comparison to WWE, the 2K series, did you feel like that was a step up when they switched to 2K? Because I know THQ lost and then...
No, and that was my problem. Transition. God, and this is not an insult at all to the people who work on the WWE games, but especially, and I think you've seen it with the history here and some of the conversations, there's a rumor going around right now that WWE is talking to EA that if this is a make or break game for 2K, and if they bounce, they're looking at going to EA. I think anybody you talk to will tell you that the 2K series is a bit stale, right? The problem is that it was a bit stale with SmackDown versus Raw because it was the same people. And if you remember when THQ went away and the rights went over to 2K, they really just hired everybody who from THQ. Like, they brought in all sorts of people. The people who were the higher-ups on that game came over. The PR people who were the higher-ups on that came over. Like, it wasn't like all of a sudden you had a brand new group working on the game. You just had a brand new logo on the box and a bunch of new people, but a whole bunch of old people too. Andy?
Wait, that's really funny. Just real quick, I want to say, you say Rich George. That reminds me, my first ever, like, real work trip with IGN was to go to WrestleMania with Rich George for that game.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. I was just gonna mention, yeah, like, you know, hey EA, you're gonna work on this and it's Vince Zampella again just having to fix another franchise. Here comes Vince.
Well, so then this is a long preamble, I'm sorry, to explain to you where the 2K series is, to explain where I am with it as well as just a wrestling fan, a wrestling video game fan, right? And so in the lead up to this, I was excited. Obviously, right now, if you're not paying attention, AEW is trying to come on strong. Yuke's, the people who made SmackDown versus Raw, the people who made 2K up until they left Visual Concepts on their own to make 2010, or not 2010, 2K 20, right? They are working right now on the AEW game. Kenny Omega is a big wrestling video game fan. He's a wrestler as well. He is very clear that, like, they are trying to make a new No Mercy. They are trying to make a modern game inspired by No Mercy, which many people would point to as the best wrestling game of all time, myself included. And you could argue WrestleMania 2000. You could argue WCW, NWO Revenge, that style of AKI Yuke's gameplay, right, for what you're getting. I digress. The heat is on right now. And so, yeah, you can't have another shitty game, let alone the fact that your last game was so shitty. And so I'm excited for this. I'm looking forward to this. I reach out. I say, hey, getting pretty close to this game. You know, it comes out officially Friday, this upcoming Friday, right? But last week I started asking about codes. I'm like, when are we going to get codes? They email me back. They're like, hey, here's an NDA. Get you signed up. We're going to drop you codes on Friday. So that's last Friday, right? And I'm like, okay. When's the embargo? The embargo is Monday. They were telling us we were going to get this game on Friday, and then the embargo would be 3 a.m. Monday, which is an outrageous embargo. Most people, when I say this, go, oh my God, yeah, 3 a.m. I'm like, no, you're not listening. They're giving us a video game on Friday and saying you can review it, give it a score on Monday. Like, that's an incredibly short turnaround. That's you can do
that's
it,
a
of
weekend
course.
Also.
Yeah,
it's a weekend.
It's a weekend. It's not a work day. That's a shitty turnaround. And immediately for me, that is sirens. That is the red light of death, of like trouble ahead. Usually when you get a shitty embargo like that, that means they're hiding something. That means the game is not good.
Greg, that gives you like at least like 2 days to play, right?
Right. That's more than 48 hours, right, of just playing, right? Yeah. And God bless them. Yeah. Like, you know, you mentioned at the top of this, the full review of WWE 2K22. This is far from that. you know, again, I have played some, I've played a fair amount of it. I've played a lot of it. I have impressions and I have plenty to say about it. I have not touched certain modes beyond like the surface level of my GM and stuff like that. This is not a full blown thing, but what it is telling you where I'm at and what I think my score would be and all that jazz about it and everything else. But God bless them. There are the people out there that I've already seen that I follow on Twitter. They're like, I've been awake for 26 hours. You know what I mean? That they were just like gung ho. They were going to play through everything they could and get up as many videos as they could and do all the different things, talk about it. Like they're a Greg Miller in 2007 would have as well. But of course he would have been, you know, living in an apartment with three other people and he would have had nobody, not a baby to worry about. You know what I mean? I digress. Yeah,
I was setting you up there, Greg, I was joking, being like, you have 2 days when in actuality you said Friday to that, but we actually didn't even get the codes until day of.
No, exactly. Yeah. So what happens though is Friday comes and goes, no codes. I hit them up. They're like, hey, we're still trying to, they're working on a patch. They're working on a thing to put out. And like, okay, that's interesting. Not a good sign either. And so they're like, you'll get them before 3 a.m. on Monday. You're like, okay, cool. Sunday, 7 a.m., codes drop. We get codes. So does everybody else. You know, I install it. I come back from hanging out at the farmer's market. Andy knows I love a good farmer's market. And it was a good one.
Yeah, I get a lot of voice memos from there.
Yeah. Had a pizza. Yeah, you stop responding to them, but I'll keep sending them.
Wait, you send those in public?
Oh, yeah, I sent them everywhere. Did you hear my Batman and Robin one the other night? It was great.
I did.
I may not respond to them, Greg, but I do play them on other podcasts.
That's good. That's all I'm at. As long as there's an audience for them, I don't mind.
Yeah.
About to babble for sponsoring this episode. There's nothing worse than traveling abroad and looking like an idiot because you didn't bother to learn the slightest bit of the country's language. That's why Greg Miller has been using a little Babbel to learn French to speak to Genevieve. Babbel is the addictively fun, fast, and easy language learning app that has sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective, and you can choose from 14 different languages like Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been helping Greg Miller be able to communicate with Jen's extended family. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code KINDOFFUNNY. That's BABBEL.com, code kind of funny. Babbel, language for life. And shout out to Chime. Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, no foreign transaction fees, and no service fees. Get all that and then some with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card. They've also got over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs all over the place, like at most Walgreens, 7-Elevens, or CVS's. You can access your money when you need it, where you need it. Make your first good decision of the new year and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services provided by a debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at any MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Sometimes pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds. chime.com/KF Games. Shout out to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. If you've ever been on the bus or the train with someone who's taking a phone call on speaker, you know that everyone who can hear them now knows a bunch of their private business. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing, so don't be that person. Did you know your ISP knows every single website you visit, and then they can sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who can use that data to target you? Well, ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't peep in on your online activity. The best part of it is how easy it is to use. You just fire up the ExpressVPN app and click a button on any device. I've been using this forever. Kind of Funny's been staying safe on the internet with ExpressVPN, and they're right. It could not be easier to use. Secure your online activity today at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny and get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. ExpressVPN.com/kindoffunny. kind of funny. Shout out to Upstart. If you've got multiple credit card balances each month and are getting by just paying the minimums, barely making a dent into your credit card debt, it can be pretty dang discouraging. Upstart can help you pay off your existing debt quickly so you can feel like you're finally getting ahead. Whether you're paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows that you are more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 and $50,000 and receive your funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use the URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/kindoffunny.
Tim, put it in your hat too. I was thinking about a Patreon tier where I just put up a nightly voice memo that's just off the chain. You know what I mean? Put it on there.
Okay. Off the chain.
Yeah.
I'm pushing P out here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pushing P. I gotta do it.
Man, this message is off the chain right now.
I start the game up on Sunday. I start playing, and I am dumbfounded by how good the game is. Like, how much I enjoy the game. How there is no dragging around the corner of problems. I guess, you know, it is the rare occasion that they really were working on their day one patch or whatever down to the last minute to get it out. Maybe. I don't know. You know, for this one, the big push is that, you know, it is a brand new control scheme. So in the past, the 2K series has been criticized for animations. You get it. You're going through, you hit your button, the animation plays out, and you just watch it happen. You just go through and that's how it's going to be. And then something else happens and you go. They've been criticized for having it be too complicated to be pick up and play for newcomers. And then also just like not fun to sit there, you know, worrying about, well, if I'm hitting L1, am I hitting R2? Am I doing this thing? I got to reverse this thing that way and do another one that way and blah, 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 blah. They've gone through this time around and their big push was we're building it from the ground up. We want it to be approachable. We want it to be easier to get into. And I think they have done that. I think they've delivered a gameplay system that we're talking about at the base level is enjoyable to play, leads to those kind of, I don't want to, it's a WWE thing, I think actually from the series too, but the OMG moments of you're so close to something happening, you're not. You know, I for this part of the review, right, I would kick it to Blessing, where we went and played online. And at that point I had played, I don't know, a day, and that's in quotes, not 24 hours, but, you know, a day in a life of, you know, my weekend and hanging out. And me and Blessing got in there playing. Blessing had played like 2 seconds of one thing. And so it was this idea of me giving Blessing a few pointers on how to get do this or get out of the ring or whatever we were worrying about. But we were we had a match that was sweaty, palm-inducing.
Yeah. It didn't feel like you were dominating, right? I felt like I was competent enough with the controls to know, okay, X is heavy, square is light, and triangle is counter for the most part, right? Like, being able to keep up with that was enough for me to go, all right, cool, like, let me wait for the reversal here, let me try and read Greg's moves here, and, like, we had a pretty good back and forth where I was pinning you at points, you were pinning me more of the time. Like, you were winning for the most part, but it wasn't always a given that you were going to absolutely dominate me. And I feel like it does come back to that thing that, like, you know, I've read it in the articles too of them talking about what they want this next game to be. And it often is a thing of, we want it to be an approachable fighting game. We want it to be something that if you're starting from ground zero, you can still have fun and play. And for me, coming into this game from ground zero, having not played a wrestling game for over a decade, because my last wrestling game would have been SmackDown versus Raw 2008. And, like, you know, the control scheme's completely changed, right? So I'm not able to apply that skill to this game. Feeling like I'm coming in at ground zero, I felt like I was keeping up fairly decently.
Can I? Yeah. Can you switch like light and heavy to the souls? Do I have a dash and a parry? What's going on there?
Hold on. Let me check.
You kind of actually do. Like, not so much to the dash and parry necessarily, but like there is more of like a dodge. And then the light and heavy, I'm pretty sure you can remap to whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I'm here on controls.
Oh, really?
Where you could. Yeah, yeah.
Visceral attack, stick your hand in their chest.
There is a dodge roll, and like a counter is kind of a parry, and so I think that there is everything you want there.
Perfect.
And yeah, Barrett has it up there, and he just took it out. Sorry, if you want to toss it back up there, Barrett. Like, they made a big point in their trailers to show this control scheme, right? And you look at it, and it does look No Mercy-esque, where you're looking at, like, we're talking about light attack, heavy attack, grab. Like, that's all you really need to understand. And I think that the fact they're showcasing that shows they know the audience they're going to, that they're trying to get in nerds who are lapsed wrestling fans, people who are just looking for a fun game to play. And I think this succeeds as that. Again, you know, I have not, I'm going to back you out here, and if you want to go to the thing, right, gone through everything all the way through super intently, yada, yada, yada. But one of the things they're talking about, there's these are the main modes if you're watching on if you're watching right now, right? There's Showcase, where you play as Rey Mysterio in his greatest matches. And I say greatest matches, I'm using air quotes on that, because, of course, most of his greatest matches are with people who aren't in the game. So they have to cherry pick great matches Rey Mysterio's had with the actual roster that's available in the game.
Let me stop you right there, because I want to pop in. I've played it for maybe like 2 hours, and I don't think I'm on the exact same page as you guys, where this is one of the least approachable games I have ever played. And I think that's more just the amount of modes and the amount of things they're yelling at you, and like trying to figure out the how combo based it is. And it's like some of it works more like Tekken, where some of it works more like No Mercy or whatever. I was very overwhelmed by it all. And a couple of the modes wasn't really vibing with, and you'll get to those in a sec. But Showcase mode is fucking awesome. That was the thing that, like, once I kind of like settled like the just like overwhelmedness down, I was like, I'm just going to focus on this. You're going through some of Rey Mysterio's biggest moments, like you were just saying there, Greg, that sure, maybe not the biggest, but like it's all live action documentary style interview footage of Rey Mysterio talking about his journey through WWE or through wrestling, really, and talking about the matches. Then you play the match and you have objectives as you're playing through it that they want you to kind of reenact moments from that match in between the gameplay of just fighting them. And when you do it correctly, it will transition into actual footage from the match. So when you see like instead of a canned video game animation,
I can show you real quick.
It transitions in, and I am so blown away by how cool it is. Like, it is such a great thing. And also Rey Mysterio is just such a dope dude with such a great story that I'm very, very impressed with this, and I'm 100% sticking with it.
Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, they're using this stuff, but again, like, this is the stuff I love of it, right? And this is, again, you know, as always, it starts with the, you know, WWE logo, right? Then, now, forever, and going through that. And that's, you know, again, the games that have succeeded in the past are the ones that are able to embrace, you know, the past while celebrating the present and elevating the product. And so I think Rey Mysterio Showcase is a great example of, yes, how do we make the past exciting? How do we showcase that in? And even right there, right, like, you look at the like filter they've put on this, right, and it's, you come in, and I don't know if we'll get to it. I'll get a little bit going here as I'm wailing on Eddie Guerrero right now as Ray. But hold on, start with the light combo. Yeah, so get my combo going. Eventually, it will transition from the act while we're playing, right? It'll go from the what we're playing in the game in this, it'll transition into that archival footage again. So it's like it's doing a great job of letting you play the documentary almost. I'm gonna let Eddie get out of there.
Once you get to the next sort of like memorable moment where maybe you get on the turnbuckle and then something happens.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, it's doing the whole thing of telling you to go through and stay on him and get all this stuff. But I stunned him because I'm just too damn good.
Yeah, this might not be the best. It's going to happen, but this might not be the best example with the obstacle here. Yeah, there we go.
But as you go through and you play through and they talk about it and then they cut to the footage from what's happening in-game engine.
It's so fucking cool, man. And for me, most of the ones I was doing, it's like the objective that you kind of see pop up in the top left when you're in the actual gameplay. It's a little bit more concrete than that one was. I think that was a little more vague of just kind of wail on them until something happens. But like, it'll be like, get them in this turnbuckle or in the top left turnbuckle or whatever. And then you do that and then it cuts to it. It's like, it's so impressive. And I do think that it's a testament to the camera work even in 2K 2022. That's a hard thing to say.
We just call it 2022.
Yeah, exactly. Or 2K. Yeah. Where it's a bit more dynamic than it has been in the past. So it is able to kind of seamlessly transition into the archival footage and not feel goofy as hell. Like, I feel like I'm very, very impressed with the Showcase mode.
Yeah. Showcase mode was the first thing I checked out too. And like, I think Greg mentioned them reaching back into the history of WWE and embracing that. And that was something I did not expect for this game. Cause again, like not playing a WWE game in a long time and also not really keeping up and watching the WWE for a long time. Going into this game, I was like, okay, I'm excited to play this, but I don't know if this is going to have anything for me. And when I saw the Rey Mysterio Showcase mode and I saw like how they're going through the history of Rey Mysterio, who like, no matter if you've been into wrestling, right? Like there are so many, points of entry for you to like, you know, love Rey Mysterio or have seen his matches. And so for me, it was like the mid-2000s stuff with Eddie Guerrero, where I was like, oh, holy shit. Okay. Like I've been playing this game for 10 minutes. I'm already feeling something, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I think, you know, It's interesting here, Tim. You know, you thought it was inapproachable. Did you play the other 2K games when they were more like R1? And I'm talking out my ass in which the actual buttons were. Everybody who wants to attack me, R1 blocks strikes, L1 blocks grapples. Marry that the right way.
So I played a couple of them. I've never been into the 2K games. Like I gave, like the last wrestling game that I really enjoyed was probably besides, what was that one that was like not Battlegrounds, but the Battlegrounds before Battlegrounds?
All Stars.
Mm-hmm. I had fun with that. It wasn't that great, but like I had fun with it at least. Sure. But before that, it was the SmackDown versus Raw era of games. But there's just something about this that's probably standard to a lot of people that play things like NBA 2K games, where just the amount of modes and the amount of my this and my that and whatever, and like the cards, systems, and all that. It's like there's just a lot of shit where I'm like, I don't even know, like, where's the career mode? Like, what? Just let me play the game. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then everything I'd click into felt like I did the right thing. And then I just felt like bombarded with tutorial stuff that left me almost more confused than I was trying to be. And until I realized, like, oh, this is not the mode I want to be in. Like, starting up my GM mode, and you hear Stephanie kind of going through all this stuff. The presentation was really cool. But then once I got into the actual content, I was like, oh, this is not what I expected it based on what I know of GM mode. Granted, from a decade ago's video games, but I'm like,
which has been on for a while too, by the way. GM mode, that's one of the reasons people are stoked that it's back.
And but it just is not it though. Like, it's a very, very different thing here. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then I started up what My Rise, I guess it is, which is like what's actual the career. And within 5 minutes of that, I was like, oh no, like this feels so PS2 era storytelling of you're like follow around, like, hey, it's my first day here. What are we doing? I'm like, who wrote this? Like, what is going on? So that's why, like, going to the showcase mode, I was like, okay, this feels like the presentation and gameplay kind of matches up a bit more, because like it kind of just feels like there's a lot of stuff that isn't up to par.
I've
seen so far.
I had that same feeling when I hopped into My Rise. Like, I think kind of what you're talking about, Tim, is kind of it feels very sports gamey in a way where
I feel much.
Like sports games traditionally have like just a splatter of here's a bunch of different things you can hop into. Like there's a manager. Here's like the, you know, card unlockable mode. Here is like here's the showcase that is celebrating a certain sports star. Right. Like it doesn't really present anything as the main way to play. But yeah, for me, like I did hop into My Rise and I think I let it go for 5 minutes and it was in that opening cutscene where I was like, no, I'm not doing this because this does feel very janky and like the acting doesn't feel there. And it reminds me of YouTube videos I'd see of NBA 2K of the same thing.
Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, like it's Jake from State Farm. Or
no,
like it's
way worse than that, dude. I'm thinking like, Tim, you're finally experiencing what I experienced in NBA 2K14, 2K15, where Eric Gordon, NBA player, is kind of like the guy who's like, hey, I'm here to mentor the rookie. But it's just, I think they got like 7 NBA stars to just read from a script. And it's, hey, man, you're here on the new team. And when you come into this place, like it's like you could tell like where the sentence and page where the page was turned and shit. Like it was really bad stuff back in the day.
It had that energy, but like it seemed like an actor who was there was just like, hey, you know what? I'm here. I'm getting a call though, so I can't be with you, right? I'm like, this is like atrociously bad. And it sucks because going to the main tutorial, like the first tutorial when you boot up the game, was what's his name?
Is it Riddle or something?
No, it's not. Riddle was the
Gulak or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Like he's kind of like teaching you the game and stuff. I feel like that at least it's a little corny, but like at least it was presented well. And it's like, okay, this fits the tone of the game. Whereas My Rise feels like I can't imagine anybody finding enjoyment out of it so far. But did you play any of that, Greg?
Oh yeah, I really like it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's totally that thing of everything you're saying is right. And especially the woman you talk to right at the very launch of it, where she's like, I'm getting a phone call or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Barrett, stay on me for a second. Because I have more of My Rise stuff in here. What I didn't know what to expect out of My Rise, right? And I've been impressed with it. It's just another way to get you into playing the game and what to do with the mechanics, right? So here's a screenshot, right? Social media will be a big part of your My Rise. Social media posts appear in your social media feed and direct messages appear in your DM. Storylines kick off with conversations in social media posts or DMs. If you want, you can only display the conversations, yada, yada, yada. It's the idea of playing these, right, that you go through and have this conversation with someone in your DMs. Then there's decision branches that are going to make you face or heal, right? You get to go through. It's all just a wrapping to get you to keep playing. But I like the idea of starting at the performance center, you know, Road Dogg is your coach or whatever. Then at some point he brings in Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is there. You know, there was a conversation about which was the better DX. So X-Pac comes to town and, like, you know, they take me on their side because I chose to go with them. I said, you guys were the better DX. I get to go wrestle with them against Shawn Michaels and his dude or whatever. Like, it's this idea. And then they do this thing too. This is a terrible thing of it. But, like, they find a way to, even when you're in the performance mode, make you go wrestle the greats, the old folks. You'll have a conversation with somebody and be like, Road Dogg was like, I want you to go home tonight and envision, you know, wrestling a great superstar and try to learn something from that. And you got to pick. I got challenged by somebody, you know, to go think about fighting Andre the Giant. Here on this one, right, I had already made it to the Raw roster. And, you know, when you start the mode, when you start My Rise, you have to pick your backstory. When you pick your backstory, it then influences how people talk to you, how you talk. It's what your angle is when you start at the performance center. And so there was this conversation, you know, like, Titus O'Neil's been breathing down my neck ever since the performance center. He's upset because I'm claiming to be the best, you know, former pro football player. So Mandy Rose for the big game, in quotes, halftime heat. They bring back halftime heat and they're like, you're all the former, you know, folks at Raw who were football players are going to do a battle royale and stuff. And it's interesting. Like, it's a nice way to see matches go. If it, obviously this is one of those that's taking wrestling seriously and acting like the fights are happening in real. There's, you know, my GM doesn't, as you go through and book your card that way and figure stuff out like that. Universe doesn't to an extent. Like, I appreciate the wrapping here. I appreciate this stupid side quest that I've put up here where basically the wrestler Otis ate all of catering. So now if I want to, I can go whip his ass. And if I win, I'll get 15 upgrade points to go put into my character attributes, right? I'll get more fans because it's counting how many fans you have at any point. And it gives you a tribute bonus for arm power. On top of that, as you go through and play this, it's unlocking, you know, new arenas.
No, I'm not letting
beat Otis's ass.
bring that back up though, because we need to read this. I fucking love it. I just love the blah 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 at the end of it. Just don't take it out on Otis, okay? I heard he was hungry. Could have happened to anyone. Make Otis think twice about his late night stacking.
And that's the thing, is like the quests like that obviously are tongue in cheek and know what they're doing. You, Tim, are 100% correct that, like, the woman you talk to at the performance center's acting is terrible. And I think even your guy in that scene was bad. I remember in the same way of you being like, ugh. I feel like he gets better later on as we go through with other stuff. And I don't know if that's just being around him the whole time. Don't get me wrong, he's not Oscar winning at any stretch of the imagination. I retweeted somebody today who's let me see if I can find it time. It cracked me up. I haven't heard it myself, but I 100% believe it. Talking about this mode and everything else in the game and saying, God, I tweet too much.
Was it the
It's Mitchell Saltzman from IGN. Yeah. Man, if you want to hear how COVID impacted game development, check out WWE 2K22, because they definitely had Edge record lines from what sounds like a webcam mic. So, like, that's what you're getting out of it. It's enjoyable. I like it. I'm not at all saying it's perfect and it's, you know, this cinematic experience, but as somebody who's looking for a fun way to go through and unlock stuff and have a reason to keep playing, have a reason to go after the stuff, you know, go after different rings, go after different things, it tracks the whole way. I'd show you in My Rise right now, but I'm in the middle of a match I bailed on, so, like, it'll start right into that. It has, you know, you keep track of the storylines. Eventually you're going to be able to hop between factions, but, like, it was admittedly cool when, you know, my stupid performance center, they're like, all right, the GMs are coming. If you can impress them, maybe they'll, you know, ask you to go up. And, like, I chose the hardest match against Drew McIntyre. I won. And then it was like, all right, cool. I could go talk to William Regal, Mandy, et cetera. And I could decide what show I wanted. They all made offers. So I go to Raw, right? And that was a cool thing, to go to Raw and have that moment. And then in the same way, like, spoiling the storyline for everybody. Sorry. You know, the United States champion. The United States champion and me got into an angle. It started on social media where I talk shit. I took the high road because, of course, you can be face or heel. We went and had the match. I won. And I was like, oh, my God, this is cool. My character's got his first title or whatever. And then, it, you know, cuts to the cutscene of the dude gets up, beats on me, tears off the steps, gives me his finisher on the steps. And it's like, then it's a, you know, a post from Mandy that's like, hey, because at the end of that match that happened, my character, Blue Suede, I call them, has, you know, broken ribs. He's going to be out 6 weeks. So the title goes back to the other dude. And then I confront Mandy about them, like, what the fuck or whatever. She's like, listen, you're fucked up and you got to go back to performance center and you got to rehab. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's actually interesting. I like that. Again, it's exactly what we're talking about. You know, Mandy Rose is like all stiffly there, talk like, you know, hands at her side talking. But I was like, oh, this is a cool thing I didn't see coming. And I like that there's those little parts to it, that there are like angles to stretch it between it. That's what I always want more than, you know, what you get out of universe mode, where you go and there's angles and stuff like that. But I prefer the scripted stuff. Again, I think back to a No Mercy, and it was, you know, the little things with the branching storylines that went back, and it's like, oh man, I'm gonna go back, and when I get to that point, I should lose this match to see what happens there. And it's the same thing so far of like, I'm sure there are probably, you have to win these matches. I haven't run into them. They are like, whatever happens is going to happen. And like when I lost my, I, you know, I had my first NXT match, right, trying to impress people, and I lost it. And there was a, you know, a condolence in my DMs from one of the wrestlers who I don't know. And it was just like, hey man, I lost my first NXT match too. It happens, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's interesting. That's cool. It's, you know, again, for the showcase to celebrate Rey Mysterio's career, my rise to incorporate social media and DMs and have feuds and angles start that way, I think is neat.
Mm-hmm. So gameplay wise, going back to that, like the core of it, like, do you think that this is a very strong foundation that they can kind of build on? Earlier you were saying that like, if this one doesn't hit, EA might get it. Where do you think that conversation lands?
I think this puts them in a sticky situation, because I think that, you know, 2K has not done excellent with WWE for quite some time. And we can go to 2020 when we're talking about 2K20. We can also talk about Battlegrounds, which, you know, I mean, was a fart in the wind. Nobody cared about that game. And it was like, oh, well, does WWE want shitty games? I imagine no. And they want money, of course, but they want the shit to be good, especially when AEW is coming for them and trying to actually, you know, make something interesting here. So I think this is a strong foundation. I think this is a game that I am enjoying playing, and I'm enjoying learning, and I'm enjoying, like, you know, I saw Jeff Gerstmann tweet about, man, I'm playing 2K 2022 or 22, and I feel like I'm watching animations play out and not being interactive with it. I'm not having that, and I haven't had the chance to actually talk to Jeff about it. I had that feeling when I played previous WWE games where you miss the reversal in the front of the move, and now I'm just watching it happen. What I like about this version when I'm playing it is they put the reversal in different spots for different moves. So it is this thing of, all right, cool, he's starting to be, it looks like I'm getting suplex, it looks like I'm getting powerbombed, it's like whatever. When does that triangle pop up? When do I hit it? When do I try to get out of it and reverse it? And so there is that angle where I actually feel more invested in the moves and the animations than I ever was before. And I think it's another one where it just makes sense if that goes with it. It makes more sense, because even for me, as somebody who played these games year after year, you'd get into this and they'd add in a new match, you'd do this thing, you'd be like, all right, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do? How do I get him out of the ring? How do I do the thing? How do I go out that way? I've been impressed with them the way that in my first battle royale, right, I'm tossed into it, and I was like, shit, I haven't done a battle royale in this game yet. I don't know how it's going to do it. And so the first time, you know, I think it was Goldberg to the corner and went over there, you know, it does the full blown pause and comes up, and it's like, hey, in a battle royale, you know, this is the mini game and how it's going to work. And it's all back to button taps and stuff like that of, you know, you get there and you try to tip them over. So you're tipping that. Same stuff for submissions and stuff like that. I like that better than the old spinning sticks, trying to mash the dot, the whole bunch of different ways that we've gone around on this. And it was get them to the ropes and do it. Even something in, you know, a non-battle royale, to figure out, you know, to grapple and then R1 to pick somebody up and walk them to the ropes and throw them out of the ring that way. Like, I feel like right now the controls are simple enough that I'm not getting into situations where I'm trying to do something going, I don't remember how to do that. My first ladder match, you know what I mean? Like, pick up the ladder, put it down, get to the top, and then it is like, cool, reach, and then, you know, do the mini game there, try to get there. Like, I feel like the game is making, I always talk about, you know, what a great interviewer Aaron Andrews is, right? And when I do that, I always reference the Richard Sherman post-game interview where him and Crabtree got into it. Andy, you remember this, right?
Of course.
And he's super fired up, and he's coming off, and Aaron Andrews goes over, they ask him a bunch of stuff, and Richard Sherman totally blows past anything she's saying, and he's just like, they want to come for our legs. That's what, yeah, so he wants to do this. And I remember watching on a plane, and I had just gotten there late, and I'm like, who? And Aaron Andrews goes, who? And he goes, Crabtree. And I was like, that's when Aaron Andrews is a great reporter, because so many people would step up and get in that situation and they would keep on their line of questioning. They wouldn't stop what they're doing to actually interact with what's going on there. I think that applies to this game, because when I get to the corner and I want to do something, I'm able to do it. Somebody played that in a play test. A developer sat there and said, this should just work. You should get to a certain situation and you should be able to figure out without bringing up the pause screen. The only thing I had to bring up a pause screen to ever figure out, or actually I couldn't find on the pause screen, I just figured out on my own, was how to pick somebody up off the mat. That was it. And eventually I stumbled into it because it's just up on the right stick. Easy enough. But everything else I feel like I've run into in these modes so far has been great about it and has been interesting about it. And I enjoy the way they explain stuff, even though my first Hell in the Cell match, you know, and you turn off tips, obviously, but the tips pop up your first time you do anything, and it being, you know, get tossed out of the ring by Undertaker, and it explains, all right, hold on now, you know, it's smaller, so your moves are going to do this. If you get to the corner, you can whip people out this way and break through that way. So yeah, I'm having fun with it. You know, I think the reversal system, the stamina system they're using, you know, the same, you know, hurt people's body parts, make them weak. The blood, I guess, appears at different spots depending on where you get hit. You know, I was doing an Iron Man match with Samoa Joe. I was Samoa Joe, of course. But, you know, I was taking some damage to the face and my face started to swell up and get red and stuff. And it's like, it is those little touches that I'm like, damn, this is good. It's the normal shit of if you want to come in there and do the normal, man, hair looks terrible sometimes. Man, the crowd doesn't look great. Man, have I run into bugs? Of course. You know, I got whipped into a corner that somebody else got whipped into today. And so then I did the animation of laying in a corner, but I couldn't lay on the guy. So it pushed me out. And then it just broke me. I was out of the universe, just laying on a, like not laying on a rope, but looking like I was leaning on a rope and nobody could touch me. It's like, yeah, that shit happens.
I've been spending time in the creator character, and like I had to double check. I was like, I am playing the PS5 version of the game, right? Because I felt like whenever I'd switch different features, it would linger on that feature for a second of like,
the next thing. I gave up
and being like, is this SSD, is it loading off the SSD, because this should be faster than this. But yeah, like there are those things that are there that I think people will recognize as like the jank that's probably always been there.
Yeah, I've always been disappointed, and again, this speaks to 2K being caretaker of the WWE. I've always been disappointed in how long it takes to load their shit. But that said, Barrett, if you can go to Khalif, if you can go to Khalif's tweet from this morning or last night of his created character, you look at that and you go, holy fucking shit. Like, I can't wait. Like, me, Blessing, and Mike are doing a stream on Thursday where we're going to play through this, and we're making our creative characters right now. And so me and Bless are at the same point of going through this. But awesome. If you're looking at this on the thing, Barrett, click over to the photo that came with this of it's that's Ka, obviously, from the PAX Wrestling thing. And you click over to his actual character, and like, you know, he went in there and he was able to remake the shirt. And like, of course, this is the same shit as always where, you know, image uploaders in there. You can go and put your face on there if you wanted. I don't think Ka did that. You can go, you can put your all this different, you can upload your own images. Like I'm making mine right now and I'm doing the cut off blue, kind of funny aerobic shirt. Andy, if you have the aerobics logo, I need that. I don't know who has that. I need to get that and upload that to make it like, there's that level in it. I think those characters look good enough in the game when they're fighting and doing their things. Like, there's a lot to love here, and there's a lot that makes me want to keep playing. You know, we didn't talk about my faction, which is,
shout that out, because like
Madden Ultimate Team, FIFA Ultimate Team. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was the one where when we were talking about My Rise, right? That was the one where I played a little bit My Rise. I hopped out because I was like, okay, I'm not feeling this, and then I hopped into my faction, and I was like, I do feel this a lot. Like it is, like you mentioned, right? It's like FIFA Ultimate Team, where I've never cared about FIFA Ultimate Team because I'm not super invested in soccer or football that way. And so for me, hopping into my faction where I actually recognize the characters, it is the thing of you're building a 4-person team and then elements around that team by collecting cards that apply to those elements. So for me, my first role, it was AJ Styles. I got Xavier Woods, and I think I got a Kofi Kingston, one other wrestler. And I was like, oh shit, I really like this team. And then you go into matches. I've only done one of them. There is modes within this mode. I've only done one of the modes, which Greg, you tell me which one this is, but it's the one where you go in, you fight NPC characters, and you have certain conditions that you're trying to hit, right? Where if you want to do like the 1-star out of 3-star, you do like you get 15 points. If you want to do the 2 stars out of 3, you get 60. And if you want to go the full way, you get 90 points. And if you want to go for the 90 points, you have to do a list of objectives, essentially, where it is taunt to the opponent, taunt to the crowd. Depending on the wrestler you are, like if you're a high flying wrestler, you know, jump off the turnbuckle 3 times, right? Do 3 super salt or whatever the fuck is called, right? And like you have to fulfill these elements to get the points to then like have points later on that I'm sure you can then spend on more cards and more characters. And like from the start of it, I'm already having fun with it.
And that's the thing. Well, Barrett, if you want to toss it up, I'm in my faction right now showing off my decks or whatever. And I got cold decks of things I can do. Sorry, Andy.
I guess mostly for Greg, because Greg, you really enjoyed Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you enjoyed Fire Pro Wrestling more for the customization aspect of it. Do you think that this will be enough to kind of supplant Fire Pro Wrestling as your main wrestling game?
I do. I think that, you know, I think Fire Pro Wrestling is an incredible game. I think it's got a great creator suite, which obviously people got behind and made a lot of cool shit in. But for me, yeah, the gameplay of Fire Pro was never 100% my jam. Like, it was incredibly timing based, you know, listen for the foot to hit the table. That's when you put in your button prompts and stuff like that. And it has that more, not basic, but like older school feel and look to it, right? And I think that was great for simming and it was great for creating, but playing, I was never like, oh man, I really want to play some Fire Pro. I wanted to create in Fire Pro. Whereas what I love about what we're talking about right now, and especially for what Bless just said, right, is like, I feel like even if you don't like my GM isn't my kind of thing, where it's like, it's not even, it's not unlimited GM. It's not forever GM. It's you for 15 weeks versus another opponent, either AI or a human controlled thing, where you draft your team, you draft your rosters, and then you plan your matches and you try to earn more money to then make cooler matches and get, you know, hire in free agents and stuff. I get why people like that. That's not what I'm in for. I want to play the game. And I think my faction with the cards and the decks and like give me a reason to come in and play whenever I want to. I'm not so much about collecting the whole deck, but having a reason to play is great. Same thing right now for, you know, the career mode I'm going through. But then, yeah, Andy, I do think that, you know, even right now, I'll get over here to creations and jump into, online's struggling right now. Of course, it's still early access and technical. But like, I went in there earlier today to look at what's already been uploaded from first blush. And it's the same thing that you'd want, right? Like, oh man, that CM Punk looks great. That Sting looks great. There's a classic Kane. Like, it's what I liked so much about Fire Pro. Because Fire Pro was, we're going to have every rare. And the fact that I think you can make a Khalif look so good speaks to when this gets out to everybody and the creators come through, what they're going to create. And it is that idea of like, you know, I've talked about this on the stream with Blessing when we were getting ready for this. And it was just in the middle of, I think, a random ass stream, Metal Gear, where it wasn't even that, right? Like, I had hit up Tim so excited at the end of my paternity leave, where I was like, I have a great idea. When I come back, I want to do KFW. I want to do Kind of Funny Wrestling. I'm going to create all of us in Fire Pro. I'm going to make all the ring aprons. I'm going to make the title. I'm going to do the whole thing. Then on my stream days, not every time, but maybe every time, you know, we run Monday Night Raws, we lead to a pay-per-view. I'll have, you know, we can get everybody their costumes so Andy can cut promos and everybody can do their thing. We can edit it together and have a whole thing. Yeah. And Tim's like, that's great. Let's get, you know, a real logo treatment and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, awesome. And then like 2 days later, Aaron Porter, our friend from Rooster Teeth, tweeted out like, hey, Achievement Hunter Wrestling is coming back. And I looked into it. I'm not ripping you off. I'm like, oh no. Like I totally get that. No big deal. Blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, great. And then
we sent our lawyers after all of them.
Aaron, oh God, no, Andy. Then Aaron put out this video and I looked at it and I'm like, she is doing like my dream version of this. Like, I was going to do the half-ass Kind of Funny. I build it all in front of you. The plane takes off with no wheels, but by the time we get in the air, I'll have a wing for you. Like, she had everybody in their costumes.
Like a whole crew.
They're all, I know, they're a live action. They have an announcer table. They're doing all this shit. And I was like, this is so incredible. And so I was like, I'm pausing this until I'm in a different place with it. But right now, nobody was excited about Fire Pro. You know what I mean? None of us were sitting around being like, oh yeah, let's all go play Fire Pro with Greg or whatever. I do think the creation tools here and what we're able to go through are going to be exciting. I do think it's going to be fun to play with each other for a while and actually do some stuff there and maybe come back to, not all the time, but here and there and have some fun with it. Like, I'm stoked to play this with you guys. I'm stoked to make all of us in there and go through and do it. And that's what, you know, like Thursday stream is, yeah, me Blessing and Mike going out there. And what are we going to do? Yeah, I'm excited to see how it goes.
Hell yeah. Did you, I just went to the bathroom. Did you give it a score so far?
No, I mean, so far, like, I think, you know, mileage varies, obviously. I think, you know, what do you want out of a wrestling game? What are you looking out of a wrestling game? Like I said, for me, my GM isn't my shtick. Universe has never been it either for me, the just keep on playing kind of thing. I like my Rise a lot. I like my faction a lot. I like having an option to do that. But I think for me personally, at the core, the gameplay is great. And so, like, I would say at this point, it's a 4 out of 5. Like, wow. There could be, you know, something else falls apart down the line or whatever. But as I look through creations, as I look through this, like, this is, for me, better than okay. But, and I can't believe I'm saying that. I didn't expect that at all, you know, based on the history of the 2K games as of late, based on the late arrival of the code for embargo and stuff like that. Yeah, I think this is a great wrestling game so far. And when I say that and why I'm so passionate about it and why I'm not emphatic about it, but like I am like, this is a great game, is the fact that I'm going to keep playing this. I think as you look back at the other two K games that I did not review, what would happen with them is that they would get a Friday and Saturday out of me, and that'd be the end of it. I would run through and I would do like, you know, the superstar or the basically showcase mode that was in the past or whatever, you know, relive some great WrestleMania moments or whatever. And then, you know, do a rock bottom and kind of be like, all right, cool. It's still the same gameplay. And I don't really want to do that. Like, I want to do this. I want to experience this. I'm my hope for the stream on Thursday is going to be that I can convince some Iron Man matches and see if we can actually go and do like an hour long match and just have two exhausted, bloodied characters that are just like pinning each other off of roll ups. And like, that would be incredible. And like,
the type of match where they cut to commercial in the middle of
exactly. Everyone's just laying there winded and stuff, right? Like, that's what I'm stoked about for it. And that's the thing, is I'm stoked to keep playing it, which I have not said about a WWE game in quite some time.
Andy, I really like that. We should figure out a way to do the thing where it cuts.
Has the commercial
the picture in picture.
Oh my god, that. Yes, please.
I love it. Oh, that's great. Well, hey, I'm so happy you're enjoying it that much, Greg. Before we end the show, I did want to check in with Barrett Courtney, who beat a game called A Musical Story last week. Barrett, what'd you think about that?
I finally was able to get pulled away from Elden Ring, which, you know,
it's tough to do.
Yeah, it's tough to do. There was a night where my PS5 was at my desk and not at the TV. So I was like, all right, perfect excuse. Let's sit down and play this game in bed. And I thought it was great. Hold on. I gotta reset some things here. Cause I just want to show off some gameplay. If y'all forget, I think this was shown off. I forget. I think like Opening Night Live, I think, is where this trailer is from. And it really struck us because it's like this very artsy music game that is telling the story kind of like through this music you're playing as this character here. And he kind of like, he's in the hospital and he's reliving his memories. And there's not really any dialogue or even any text to read. You're getting the story and kind of vibe of, you know, the settings for each scene that you're playing through the music itself. And yeah, sat down. It's like a good 2.5 hour to 3 hour game. And the more I sit with it, the more I really like it. I think the story, when it wrapped up for me, it was one of those I didn't expect it to go in the places that it went. Meaning to say that, like, there's one aspect of, like, your character that's introduced about, like, a third of the way through. This game deals heavily with, like, addiction, essentially. And I wasn't expecting that to be kind of, like, the core of what the story was. And so that was, like, really interesting. We're, like, walking away. I was like, huh, that's not where, like, I expected things to go. That's not where I expected things to end. But the more that I think about it, right, like, going back to gameplay here, I want to, like, bring up, actually, like, what you're doing throughout this game. Where you'll have this circle and there's kind of like circular notes that are representing like an instrument that you got to like kind of play like at the same time as an instrument is playing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when you actually do it correctly, a memory will unlock or part of a memory will unlock. Sometimes you're doing like in one scene, you're doing like 6 or 7 instruments like back to back to back and like unlocking certain moments in your character's memory. And it's just, it just reminds me like how much like I love music and like how much of like my life was used. I use music for expression, even though I was just like percussion and stuff like that. Like have it, like, even though no one really speaks in this game, the conversations that like you could hear with different instruments back and forth, like the call and response kind of stuff, I think is really, really cool. I don't think the story is anything special, but I think just like the art style is really cool. And I think just like the way they deliver the story is so unique. And I think like for anybody who wants to, you know, pick up a $15 game, I think it's only like $5 on iOS, I think what Janet's been saying. I think it's an absolute like great evening, almost like you want to sit down and kind of like watch like a weird kind of like movie, you know. I really like the soundtrack. It's
a tearjerker.
There are moments where you're like, there's no part where I was like devastated, like walking away from moments and stuff like that. But there are definitely heavy moments where you're like, God damn, that hits in certain ways. And there are definitely moments throughout you're like, oh, wow, I did not expect this kind of emotional punch in certain things. And, you know, that's what I was like really impressed by as well. Yeah, and just the music, even though it's like the story seems to be very like inspired by Jimi Hendrix, and there's even a little bit of that, like the music definitely Jimi Hendrix inspired. The music itself also almost reminds me of like less Jimi Hendrix and more of like if Pink Floyd wrote an album about Jimi Hendrix, and just like the way of like the unique in like things that aren't instruments that like are used as instruments, and just like kind of like almost like how like industrial it can sound at times, and then like going back into the more like 60s early 70s vibe there. I had a really good time with it. I highly recommend it. It's on Switch and I think a bunch of other platforms. It's on your phone, so if you got a phone, play it on your phone.
Yeah, I download it on PS5.
Yeah, can't wait to play. So yeah, I
when are you gonna play it, huh? When are you getting off that Elden Ring, huh?
Yeah, when are you going to get off that Elden Ring like I did, Bless?
I'm 75 hours. I'm going to beat it soon. It's hard. I'm going to beat it soon. I got the 5 demigods defeated, but it just keeps going. This game doesn't end.
I would put it at a 4 out of 5. It's great. It's definitely, like, out of all of the games from review season, it's definitely a standout for me. And I think it's definitely one of my favorite games so far this year.
Hell yeah. Go check that out. And for everyone else, we'll see you next week. But for all you Patreon people, guess what? It's Bless Who time. Very excited for that. For everyone else, love you all. Goodbye.